Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Well, again, good evening, everyone. So tonight, I thought we'd deviate a little bit from the teachings that Daiko, Donin, Genjo, and myself give, and go into the realm of more esoteric, or the esoteric, and that is talk about time from a Zen perspective. So tonight's talk is called For the Time Being. If you think about it, our day is typically structured around time. Throughout the day, we routinely check to see what time it is by either looking at our watches or our phones. And a clock is never really far away. What could be more obvious than time? Time is the medium in which we move. Yet, on a closer examination, what time is and how we are to understand it is not so obvious. So I'd like to share one of my favorite hymns. It's a Unitarian hymn, and it's called The Ceaseless Flow of Endless Time. And it was actually, the origin of this is that the hymn is based on an African-American spiritual composed around 1790. So here we go. The ceaseless flow of endless time, no one can check or stay. We'll view the past with no regret, nor future with dismay. The present slips into the past, and dreamlike melts away. The breaking of tomorrow's dawn begins anew today. The past and future ever meet in the eternal now. To make each day a thing complete shall be our New Year vow. The words, the past and future ever meet in the eternal now, is the crux of tonight's teaching. So what really is time? The study of time typically belongs to the world of physics, cosmology, or philosophy. Folks in these fields tackle questions such as, is time something that we move through like water? Are we separate from time, or is time somehow part of our being? Does time cease to exist? Does the present moment have its own identity, or is it determined by the past? Long before Einstein delved into these questions in the last century, Dogen Zenji, the founder of Soto Zen in Japan, wrote on them extensively in his collection of philosophical essays, Shobogenzo, or the True Treasury of the True Dharma I. Among these essays is the challenging text Uji, U-J-I, the time being, or commonly known as being time, which examines, as the title suggests, the relationship between being, things, self, and time. So here's the question to start with. Does time really exist? Does time really exist? A typical day for many people goes something like this. The alarm goes off in the morning, we eat, get in the car, and go to work. Eat lunch, finish the day at work, go home, eat dinner, do some reading or tackle some things that need to be taken care of, and then go to bed. In addition, we celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, and remember the date when someone special has died. All of this is based on time to some degree. We usually think of time as something that is separate from us. We use time to shape our lives. Then we judge and evaluate ourselves according to how we spend or waste time. In Buddhism, however, time is more than this. Time is a dynamic activity that is integrated with life, not separate from it. Back to the question, does time exist? If you had trouble answering this question, don't feel bad. Physicists are still grappling with this question. To many physicists, the conclusion is that while we experience time as real, time is not fundamentally real. It is not a function of the natural laws of nature. It is something that humans have invented to manage our lives. If I say the word cucumber, the first thing that probably pops into your mind is an image of a cucumber. Then suppose I hand you a cucumber. Obviously, you can see it because you're holding it in your hand. It's tangible. It has form and color. You tap it with your finger and it makes a sound. You bring it up to your nose and you can smell that it is a cucumber. If you bite into it, you can taste it. So you conclude that what you are holding is really a cucumber based on sight, feel, sound, taste, and smell. In fact, even before I handed you the cucumber, just me mentioning the word cucumber, you brought up an image of a cucumber based on your past experiences with cucumbers. Now, when I say the word time, can you bring up an image of time? Is time tangible? Something that you can hold or touch, like a cucumber? Does it have color? Can you smell, taste, or hear time? None of our senses can detect this thing we call time. So does time really exist for them? Here's another question to ponder. Does time exist for a squirrel, or a deer, or a chipmunk? So you see, this topic of time is not so easy to grasp and comprehend, but it is very important from a Zen perspective to reflect on how this thing we call time is a part of our lives. And this is why it's important. Of all the teachings in Buddhism, none is more important than impermanence. The foundation of our practice, the Four Noble Truths, flows from it. From a Zen perspective, impermanence doesn't mean that things last for a while, then break, fall apart, or pass away. It means that things arise and pass away at the same time. We live in a world of constant flux, where nothing is fixed. Everything is constantly changing, moment to moment. Impermanence, or change, is therefore time itself. What I'd like to do is offer some readings by some Zen practitioners on the topic of time, and I think you'll find them helpful when considering time from a Zen perspective. And the first reading is by Lewis Richmond. It's called Aging as a Spiritual Practice. And Richmond is a Zen Buddhist priest and author who studied under Shunryu Suzuki and Richard Baker Roshi at the San Francisco Zen Center. And Richmond looks at time from the perspective of aging, which we are all doing moment to moment. And this is what he says. To age means to feel the passage of time. It is like driving down a long desert highway. Each day or month of our life is a passing road sign. We remember where we were, imagine where we might be going, and have the distinct sense that the car is moving faster and faster. I call this kind of time horizontal time. Horizontal time begins in childhood, or rather, a childhood that we remember, and continues through adolescence, young adulthood, full maturity, and beyond. The story doesn't end today. It continues around the bend towards various imagined futures. There's another kind of time I call vertical time, which means this present moment, this room, this body, this breath. While horizontal time is largely mental, vertical time is more physical and is expressed in the body and the breath. Unlike horizontal time, vertical time has no before and no after. It is always just here, now. It doesn't have room for memories or imagined futures. Memories and futures are like mala beads on a string. They roll into view between our fingers, one after another. Vertical time is more like the string itself. Most people live in horizontal time. The past is fixed. There is no undoing it. The future is fuzzy and full of uncertainty. Vertical time doesn't move from a certain past to an uncertain future. It just rests continually in the same spot. Vertical and horizontal time are not separate, however. They meet right where we are. At every moment, we exist simultaneously in horizontal and vertical time. So what I'd like to do now is to read some of Dogen's essay, Uji. In Japanese, Uji means for the time being. In English, it means being time. Dogen makes clear the non-dual intimacy of existence, being, and time. As I mentioned earlier, Uji is part of a larger work of his called Shobigenzo. And Dogen wrote this around 1240 when he was 40 years old. In almost all of his writings, Dogen uses poetic wording and metaphors, which add to the difficulty in understanding his teachings. In essence, many of his writings are like koans, to put it mildly. So what I'd like to do now is to read some pieces from this chapter, Uji. And this is from Moon in a Dewdrop, Writings of Zen Master Dogen, by Kazu Tanahashi. Sometimes you'll see his name referred to as just Kaz. And he has been around a long time. I think he's now in his early 90s, and he's still writing, doing calligraphy, and teaching, and translating various things. So here we go. This is how it starts out. An ancient Buddha said, "For the time being, stand on top of the highest peak. For the time being, proceed along the bottom of the deepest oceans. For the time being, a staff or whisk. For the time being, a pillar or lantern. For the time being, the earth and sky. For the time being, here means time itself is being, and all being is time. The way the self arrays itself is the form of the entire world. See each thing in this entire world as a moment of time. Things do not hinder one another, just as moments do not hinder one another. The way-seeking mind arises in this moment. A way-seeking moment arises in this mind. It is the same with practice and with attaining the way. Thus, the self setting itself out in array sees itself. This is the understanding that the self is time. Each moment is all being, is the entire world. Reflect now whether any being or any world is left out of this present moment. Do not think that time merely flies away. Do not see flying away as the only function of time. If time merely flies away, you would be separated from time. The reason you do not clearly understand the time being is that you think of time only as passing. In essence, all things in the entire world are linked with one another as moments. Because all moments are the time being, they are your time being. The time being has a quality of flowing. So-called today flows into tomorrow. Today flows into yesterday. Yesterday flows into today. And today flows into today. Tomorrow flows into tomorrow. Because flowing is a quality of time, moments of the past and present do not overlap or line up side by side. Practice and enlightenment is time. Being splattered with mud and getting wet with water is also time. Mountains are time, oceans are time. If they were not time, there would be no mountains or ocean. Do not think that mountains and oceans here and now are not time. If time is annihilated, mountains and oceans are annihilated. As time is not annihilated, mountains and oceans are not annihilated. This being so, the morning star appears. The Tathagata appears. The eye appears. And raising a flower appears. Each is time. If it were not time, it could not be thus. So that should clear up all of your questions regarding time. In Uji, Dogen offers a very different view of time, obviously. He breaks down the distinction we make between things and being and time, and then proceeds to break down different moments of being time. Time itself is being, and all being is time, he writes. He notes that time seems to be something separate from humans, but this is just our idea of time, a picture we create, not the total picture of time. Dogen understands time in terms of all beings, everything that exists. He says that time must be considered in relation with all beings, because time cannot be correctly understood only in deep interrelationship with all beings. Not only humans, but everything that exists, animate, inanimate, visible, invisible, in the vast expanse of the universe. In Zen, we know this as interdependent co-origination. People do not doubt their experience of time enough, he writes, and so they do not understand it. Each thing in the entire world is, in fact, a moment of time. The self is time. Further, for Dogen, to be a moment of being time is to exist in interdependence with all other moments of being time. We do not have or lose time then, and we are not outside of it. We are time. And in being time, we are connected to all moments, past and future, in all beings. So time does not flow away from us, since we ourselves are time. In fact, although time does flow, since all moments of being time are dependent on each other, the past then depends on the future, as well as the future depending on the past. All moments, past, present, and future, flow into this moment. So according to Dogen, the past does not go away, but still exists right now. In the reading by Lewis Richmond, this is the point where he says horizontal and vertical time meet. So I'd like to share, which I think is a great piece on time. And it's by Adam Frank, who is a theoretical physicist and a long-term Buddhist practitioner. And he's actually, a theoretical physicist and professor of astrophysics at the University of Rochester. And he used to have this great piece on NPR called 13.1, where it was him and other scientists, various scientists of various fields, and luminaries and the humanities. And they would make this connection between humanities and science. But then NPR got canned it, like 8 years ago. So that was really unfortunate. But anyway, so this is how, this is from Tricycle, by the way, in 2008. And this is how it starts out. It starts out with the very beginning of Dogen's piece. For the time being, stand on the top of the highest peak. For the time being, a staff or whisk. For the time being, a pillar or lantern. For the time being, the earth and sky. And this is where he starts. For the time being, my knees are killing me. It's the second day of a sesshin, a 7-day meditation intensive at the Rochester Zen Center. And I am in big trouble. The stiffness in my legs has not gone away. I'm hot, I'm tired, and clammy under the brown robe. Worst of all, I cannot find my way into a deeper, more concentrated sitting. I'm not engaged in meditative absorption. I'm not breaking through to insight and enlightenment. Sounds like a typical sesshin to me. Instead, I'm stranded, left with nothing but the pain in my legs and my endless, exasperating thoughts. The bell marks the new meditation round, and I sit staring straight into a 35-minute death march of boredom and discomfort. As a theoretical physicist, I'm fairly well versed in human speculation about time and its subtle nature. Now I'm getting a lesson on its not so subtle nature. Time, that most elusive and slippery concept, has abruptly jumped from the realm of the abstract into the domain of the concrete. And all that concrete is crushing my knees. Every culture in every era has its own way of understanding and making use of time. From Stonehenge to the digital chronometers staring down on Times Square, humans have always woven their idea of time into the organizational fabric of their societies. Contemplative practice, on the other hand, takes us beyond our mere concept of time and forces us to engage with it directly. For better or worse, the flow of moments is the raw material of meditation. Buddhism's essential insight on time passage is its fundamental lack of substance. As Shunryu Suzuki put it, quote, "You may say, I must do something this afternoon, but actually there is no this afternoon. At 1 o'clock, you will eat lunch. To eat your lunch is, itself, 1 o'clock. In his great work, Uji, or The Time Being, Dogen Zenji drew a direct link between time, being, and the self. For Dogen, they were all of a piece unfolding through a present that is essentially dynamic and creative, an elemental self-revelation of all that is. Dogen's writings are nuanced and complex, but the lightning bolts of illumination in his description of time can strike even a novice reader like myself. When Dogen says time runs from present to past, it can seem nonsensical. But as Kazu Tanahashi writes in his introduction to Moon in a Dewdrop, time, according to Dogen, is experienced moment to moment. Actual experience happens only in the present. Past was experienced in the past as the present moment, and future will be experienced in the future as the present moment. But past and future always collapse into the experiencing of now, for that is all there is. Tanahashi continues, yet past is remembered as present in the present moment, as future is expected as future in the present moment. Each moment carries all of time. Time can only disclose or unfold into itself in our now. And as it does, all of time in all the world unfolds too. They cannot be separated. We stand in the center of what Dogen calls arraying ourselves as simultaneous observers, participants, and creators. Fields, grass, flowers, and wind always appear in the now that is ever one and ever renewing. Dogen has a word for this unity, being time, or Uji. To be is to be time, as the time right now is all there is, Dogen writes. Each being time is without exception entire time. In the context of Dogen, and perhaps much of Buddhist understanding, the presence of the present is the only time you have. So then, now skipping through a lot of this article to the very end, he writes, it is the last day of the retreat. Finally the bell rings. I've made it. The round of sitting is over. 7 days total. It seems to take me forever to unfold my stiff, numb legs and stand up. I draw a deep breath and let the exhaustion drain out of me. There is exhaustion, yes, but excitement too. In the midst of all that hard work, something new has discovered itself within the unfolding moments. The bell rings again, telling us that it's time to file out to lunch. For a moment, I want to linger. Do I have to leave my new sense of time on the cushion? Or can I bring it with me into the meal, then out into the world, and then everywhere after? Only time will tell. So Dogen's understanding of time frees us from being attached to the clock, allowing us to inhabit the present moment with deep awareness of our connection to a vastness beyond us, laid out in all directions of time and space. For Dogen, these ideas are not abstractions. They are simply the result of a deep look into the way time, the time that we are, really is. Dogen turns us away from a future-centered striving over time. Instead, he guides us towards a view that opens up to us the richness of time right now, our intimacy with it, and our connection to all time, past, present, and future. As Dogen reveals to us, in touching the present moment, we touch all past times, like, for instance, the time of the Buddha's enlightenment, and all future times, like the future deepening of our own realization of reality. So in conclusion, I'd like to just read a piece from Katagiri Roshi. It's from his book, Each Moment is the Universe, Zen and the Way of Being Time. And Katagiri Roshi was a central figure in the transmission of Zen Buddhism to America. And he taught in the U.S. from 1963 until his passing in 1990. So again, this is from his book. Now is important because the moment that is right here, right now, is eternal, abiding forever. See, there's that word eternal again, just like out of that hymn from the 1740 or 20, whatever it said. What does eternal mean? It means that moment after moment, right now appears as all beings. Then again, right now, and again, right now. Right now appears forever. That's why now is eternal. It means that even though right now appears as an independent moment, this moment is connected to the past moment because it is produced by time and conditions that are handed down from generation to generation, from the past to the present to the future, in a continuous process of interconnected origination. Every moment is a crucial moment because it produces the conditions of the next. That is the dynamic reality of the universe we are living in. The universe can't be seen easily because it's a vast and open space. What you can see is right now, a moment, the present moment. But this moment is not just the present. It's connected with the whole universe. That is how you can see the universe. If you see this universe, you realize that you are part of a dynamic reality that is constantly changing according to the conditions of every moment. Then you understand why your human life is important. It is important because if you take care of this right now with wholeheartedness, you create good conditions for the next right now. That's why Buddhist teachers always tell you to take good care of your life. So do your best to take care of every moment with a warm heart, because your life is simultaneously the life of all beings. So that takes us to the one question. Does time exist for a squirrel? Think about that. Does time exist for a squirrel?